Amen, to be in the house of God with you again this afternoon, amen, with all the good food that has been presented and, amen, and digested, amen, boy, make you full, amen, ain't nothing better than going to a Pentecostal potluck, you know, and a Pentecostal dinner after church, amen, all the, you know, ain't nobody can cook better than a Pentecostal lady, okay, I can promise you that, amen. Some of you guys out there, you can cook, but it ain't like these older, amen, saints of God, amen, that's been seasoned, amen, in the kitchen, hallelujah. And I'm thankful, amen, for that today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me once again to Ephesians chapter number 6, amen. As I was meditating upon God today, and I asked him, I said, God, what can I bring, amen, to these dear people, amen, that are going through trials and that are going through tribulations, amen. He gave me a message entitled, Equipment for the Trying Times. Equipment for the Trying Times. Starting in verse number 10, going through verse number 18, the Bible said, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. I love that verse. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray with me if you will. Father, we thank you this afternoon, God, that we can gather in your house one more time, God, that we can fellowship with those of like faith one more time, God, that we may be able to learn something, dear God. We may be able to be uplifted today by your Spirit, dear God, through our brothers and our sisters. Hallelujah today. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that I can gather in a house, Lord, where your Spirit, amen, where the Bible declares, your word declares, hallelujah today, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, that there is liberty in God. I feel the liberty of God within the house today. And oh God, I praise you for your liberty today. God, I pray that this word, dear God, that you've deposited into my heart, Lord, would allow me to withdraw, dear God, and deposit as well, Lord, into these dear folks' heart, dear God. Lord, I praise you. I give you glory and honor, dear God, that you would open every heart, every eye, and every ear, dear God, in your Spirit today, that they may hear, dear God, for your word declares in Revelations, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith unto the churches. Dear God, I pray that if we have an ear today, let us hear, dear God, what you would have us to say. Lord, to be edified and exalted in due time, dear God of heaven. Lord, I praise your holy name today. And everybody says, amen. The Bible said in verse number 10, he said, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You notice here that he didn't say, put on half of the armor. He didn't say, go ahead and put on the shoes of the armor, that your feet is the only thing that's gonna get hit, that your feet, amen, are the only thing that's gonna, matter in this race and in this fight. But no, he said, to put on the whole armor of God. I remember growing up, as I played a lot of sports, and baseball was my favorite sport. And when I was a little kid, I always wanted to be a catcher. And I always loved, my dad was a coach, Brother Stone, and he had all the equipment. And when they would come in from practices, and he would throw all the equipment down, and it had a big duffel bag, army bag full, and he would throw it down in the living room, and when nobody else was looking or nobody else was around, I would go through there and I would dig all the helmets out, and I would begin to throw things back behind me, and I would find the catcher's equipment. and the catcher's equipment contained, amen, you had shin guards, you had a chest protector, and you had a mask, you had a helmet, amen. And I would get that, and I'm sure there are pictures of me growing up as I was standing in the living room, and the shin guards, they would go up to my waist when they're not supposed to, and I was just too small for that equipment. But I loved the equipment. I loved to be around the baseball field. I loved the smell of the dust, amen, whenever the field, amen, was being tore up out there. And anyways, he said to put on the whole armor of God. Now, being a catcher, if I was to only have a mask on and I was to have some shin guards on, I would be unprotected here. And when you're down and when you're catching that ball, when you hold your glove up, your mitt up, that ball is going straight to your chest. And if you didn't have your chest protector on and you missed that ball for whatever reason, it hit you in the chest, it's going to knock the wind out of you. I remember one time I was telling someone the other day that we used to play in a league in Ardmore, and there was a boy running late, and so I was catching, and so someone said that they were driving up. Well, I was sitting behind the plate warming the pitcher up, and I was paying attention off over here where they were driving up, and all of a sudden I heard my name yell out, and when I looked forward, the boy that was pitching that threw the ball wasn't paying attention, and I wasn't paying attention, and it hit me right square in the throat. And you talking about hurt, Brother Stone. That hurt. Man, I began to cry, and you know, if we don't have the whole armor of God on, we're going to be in a whole world. We're going to be in a different world of hurt. That we have to have. It is mandatory for us to have the whole armor of God. And, you know, just reading this and knowing what I know about little David. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, really quick. Read a few scriptures here, amen. Everybody, if you've been in church long enough, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, whatever, amen, you know the story of little David. And I love the story of little David, amen, and who he was and what he became to be, amen. In the 32nd verse, we're going to start here, and the Bible said, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth and a man of war, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew also both the lion and the bear. With his uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and assayed to go. And he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and then put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. We see here David, a man, just a young boy, amen, in the household that he grew up in, amen. He feared God. He knew God. He feared God. And whenever he went forth, amen, to fight, he took Saul's armor, amen, and David, he was but, the Bible said, but a youth, amen, a ruddy youth, amen, the Bible said, and he was probably no more taller than this, I would imagine. I don't know, the Bible doesn't necessarily say how tall exactly that he was, but I can only imagine that he's only about this tall, and he's a shepherd out in his father's pasture with all of his sheep and flock, and anyways, as he goes on, and Saul says, you can go ahead, that the Lord be with you, because he knew that in order for him to fight against this Philistine, he knew that somebody had to be with him. And when he put the armor on and he took that sword, amen, and he went to go out to march to battle, he knew within himself that he had not proved that he could not wear this armor, because he had never wore it before. He had never wore it before, and possibly it was not only just wore before, but possibly it was too big for him. How many know sometimes in the church we try, you know, we get into some churches and we know a lot of preachers, and as a preacher, Brother Stone can probably relate to this, and getting in the mix of a lot of older seasoned preachers and patriarchs, amen, of this Christian race, amen. We try to sometimes go up to the level, amen, that they're on, so we can kind of keep up with them. Wherein the whole reality is, we don't need to go up to their level, but we need to stay where we're at, and that way we can learn from them. You and me as a Christian as well, we try to run this race, amen. We're only 2 years old in Christ, and we're trying to run, amen, with a 50-year-old man in Christ, or a 60-year-old woman in Christ, amen. And we're trying to do the things that they're doing, and we're trying to pray like they pray, and we're trying to do all these things that they do. Where in all reality, we need to stay where we're at and grow from them, amen, if that makes sense. We need to stay where we're at in God. And we need to begin to read the Bible. We need to begin to put on our armor. Not somebody else's armor, but our armor. Because you can't bear somebody else's armor. David couldn't prove somebody else's armor. You can't prove, or you can't wear, or you can't fit, amen, somebody else's armor. My brother, my oldest brother, he's a little bit bigger than I am. Not too much, but I imagine he's a little bit bigger, wouldn't you say, Brother Stone? And he's actually a little bit more bigger than I am. Anyways, he's these suit jackets that he's got, and I'll put one on, and that thing will literally swallow me up. And if I get up and I try to run with that, or I try to wear that, it'll just get in the way. Amen. We have things in our life that just gets in the way. We take on things, amen, whether it be things, amen, at home, or things on our job, or amen, even things in the church, amen, that are just too big for us, and that we cannot wear, and that we cannot prove. We just need to stay where we're at and wear the things that we have that fits us. Amen. Equipment for the trying times. How many know that this armor, amen, is for the trying times, that we're in trying times, amen. You go through trials and tribulations here on this earth, amen. You are in trying times, amen. But the Bible said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 through 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How many know we have people in the church today that will, they like to pick fights with the devil. Amen. My grandma, I remember a story my grandma told me long ago, that she had a friend of hers, amen, that she went to church with, and that friend would come up to her and say, Miss Lewis, I like to fight with the devil. And my grandma said, well, that's good for you. You can have all of them you want to. I don't want to have anything to do with the guy. Amen. There are people, amen, that when they wake up, amen, they think they're more spiritual, amen, than others. And they like to pick fights, amen, with the devil. They like to go out, amen, looking for the devil, amen. But I can tell you one thing, that you better not go looking for the devil to pick a fight with him, amen, because that could be your day of destruction, amen. But you and me, amen, for we wrestle not, amen, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You and I, we don't fight, amen, we don't fight with our spiritual brothers and sisters, or we ought not to, but our weapons, amen, that we use, they are this word, amen. How many know that this word right here is the only way that Jesus defeated the devil, amen, in the garden, amen, after he come back from his fast? For he said that, I should not tempt the Lord thy God, for it is written that thou should not tempt the Lord thy God, and that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The things that we fight, amen, this spiritual warfare with, they're not with our fist, amen. Paul, he declared, amen, that he kept under himself under subjection. And what that meant was is he kept himself, it translated meant black and blue. He literally, amen, and would keep himself, amen, in the spiritual realm, black and blue. He would beat himself up, for the Bible declares that I must decrease so he can increase, amen. I remember of the story of Martin Luther, amen, and as he a great man of God, and the Bible, you know, stories are told of him that whenever he was alive, that you people would hear him in his room praying, and he would literally take himself and would throw himself up onto the walls and would throw himself down on the ground because he did not like his flesh. He did not like his flesh, so he, as Paul would do, he kept himself under subjection to God. And if you and me today, amen, in this trying time, amen, we have to keep ourselves under subjection. Amen. Keep ourselves under subjection. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Here it is again. He told us again. Take unto us the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I love that. I love those two mixtures of those verses. They go hand in hand. He said, take unto you the whole armor of God. He said, when you've done all you can to stand, stand therefore. Amen. That's not one sentence. That's two different verses he's talking about there. When you've done all you can to stand, stand therefore. I know a lot of people in the church today that whenever they get down and they pray to God, they say, God, I need you to heal my body, and they'll leave it at that. But when God doesn't heal their bodies and sickness comes on even greater, they're up and ready to abandon God because God hasn't healed them, or if they're in financial difficulties and if their bank account ain't filled by the next weekend, amen, so they can go on their shopping spree, amen, they're ready to abandon God because they think that God has already forsaken them. But let me tell you one thing, that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you until the very end. He said to stand therefore when your bank account's getting low and you can't buy groceries, or you can't pay your utilities or pay your car payment or your mortgage, amen. He said when your sickness is almost at its end, its wit's end, amen. He said don't give up now, for he said the story in the Bible of a blind man, and The people came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what has this guy's parents done that was caused him to be blind? And Jesus said, it's not what his parents have done, but it's that my works and my glory would be revealed through him. Amen. It's just because you're sick doesn't mean God has forsaken you. Because you're sick, amen, that you can be a testimony unto somebody that may be going through something much less than what you're going through. And they can look at you and say, well, if my brother or my sister here, amen, is going through this right here, and I'm far less worse off than they are. And if they're still going on for Jesus and he's not forsaken them yet, what makes me think that he's forsaken me? Amen. That if you're sick, don't give up on God, because you can be a witness, amen, unto somebody that needs you, amen, in your time of sickness. Just because things aren't going our way doesn't mean that he's forgotten us. It doesn't mean that he's thrown us into the garbage can. He doesn't do that. He doesn't throw you away. He's better than the army. He never leaves a man behind. He doesn't leave you down. Amen. David, he declared, he brought me out of the pit that I was in. And he set my foot upon a solid rock and he established my goings. Peter, Jesus declared unto him, he said, upon this rock will I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So if he'll do those for those two people, amen. He said, I'm no respecter of persons. What I'll do for one, I'll do for the other. You may look at God and you say, God, you've healed this person over here. The Bible said to come boldly before the throne. Make our petition known unto him. Amen. You and me, we can go boldly. Amen. When Jesus stretched his arms out on the cross and looked up to the Father in heaven and said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. The Bible said that it turned dark. And the Bible said that the veil of the temple was rent in two. And the veil of the temple was made out of fabric. Amen. That man couldn't bend or man couldn't break or man couldn't tear. Amen. But when Jesus stretched his hands out on the cross for you and I, amen, for our sins, that veil of the temple into the holiest of holies, amen, was rent in two, and from that day you and me can go boldly into the throne of heaven, amen, and make our petition known and say, God, I'm sick. God, I'm having financial problems. God, I need to make this mortgage payment today. And let me tell you one thing. The Bible said in Daniel when he wrestled with God for 21 days, and after the 21st day, the Bible said that God heard him on the first day, but for some reason, and there was some mix-up and there was some communication error in the skies, amen, for the devil. He rules the skies. He rules the atmosphere. And there was a mix-up, amen, and some communication with the devil bouncing his prayers back and forth. But finally, on the 21st day, he heard from God. And God told him, said, son, I heard you the first day. So just because you haven't got your blessing, or just because you haven't got your raise that you're looking for, amen, on your job, or just because you haven't got your raise on Social Security or your VA benefits, amen, it doesn't mean that he's not heard you and he doesn't know where you're at, because he knows exactly where you're at. To stand therefore simply means to wherever you're at and whatever you're doing, to stand right there. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Definitely don't go backwards. But you just stand right there and you just rebuke that devil. For the Bible says to submit yourselves therefore to God, to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I know a lot of people that like to say, well, if you just resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Well, that ain't exactly right at all. Because I can promise you, I've told this story often about my nephew. He's 3 years old. And me and my brother, we can be doing something, or as a matter of fact, he likes to play mine or my wife's phones, and if he sees something exciting happening, he'll say, Ron, look here, Ron, look here, Ron, look here. And if you ignore him, he's just going to keep on saying, Ron, look here, Ron, look here. But until you go over and you say, yes, sir, what do you got? What do you got? He'll quit. When you pay him some attention, he will quit. But that's us, like the devil. If we ignore him, he's not going anywhere. He's gonna sit right there on your shoulder and begin to yap in your ear, just like he's doing from the very first day that he did it. But until you and me get down before God and repent of all of our sins and pray through, amen, and we say, God, the devil is bombarding me from every direction. The Bible declares that when the enemy comes in as a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That when he comes in as a flood, amen, and I can promise you, in my life, he is came in as a flood. He's came in and rushed me, and he has flooded me down with so many trials and temptations, amen, in my life. But you and me today, amen, get down on our knees and pray before God and say, God, I need your help. I need you to do this and I need you to do that. Make your petition known unto him. Make a fleece up before God. That way he has to answer you. He will answer you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Some of us less than others. But he knows exactly how many hairs we have on our head. Amen. If he don't know how many hairs you, if he can't count your hair, he can count your toes and your fingers. And hopefully you have all of them. Amen. But he knows exactly where you're at. He's given us the armor of God, sister, to get us through these trying times. There's always somebody out there that's worse off than we are. Somebody always worse off than we are. You know, all we have to do is look around, amen. And I'm excited, amen, to some things that are fixing to start happening in this ministry, amen. And I've got a gentleman, an evangelist friend of mine that I look up to, that I've heard all my life, amen. And just to kind of give you a background, I know it's in the middle of the message, but we are planning a missionary trip, amen, in the future, amen. So what you give in the offering today, amen, will not go to waste, but it will go for the kingdom of God, and that you will bless, amen. You will be blessed, and things are happening, amen. And it's not that He's forgotten us, but it's that He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly when to give us what we need at the right time. He knows exactly. He said, in your feet shod, number 15, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If there's anything that you and I can do in this Christian life, that's study this word out. That's study this word. That's to get down deep into this word. Amen. That's to find references. Amen. There are things that we just can't look at with our natural eye and realize and know what it is, because I can promise you back in those days, they don't talk like we talk today. They don't talk. They don't use the same literature. They don't use the same word combinations or whatever you want to call it as we use today as they used back then. The word wine, amen, has 15 different translations to it. But people want to think that, hey, we can go and we can get wasted and we want to. You know, the Bible said to go and, you know, a little wine for the stomach's sakes and whatnot. You know, how much wine are you talking about? But we got to study this out. We got to know what this word says. We got to know how to live. And this word right here will point it out. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And again, going back to James chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, take unto you the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It says, to submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, in Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many know this flesh right here is weak? This flesh wants to lay up, amen, on Wednesday nights after you've had a hard day at work. This flesh here, it wants to sit around and mope around and lay around and not get up, amen. Because the reason, amen, that the Bible said that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The reason why I said that is because this spirit man on the inside of you wants to do something for God. But it knows, amen, the flesh or the devil knows that your spirit is on the inside of you where he thinks he has an advantage, amen, by having the flesh on the outside, that if he can get the flesh down, that he knows that he can get the spirit down, amen. But this will on the inside of you and me has to come out to the outside through the flesh, amen. And that's why the Bible said that I must decrease this flesh right here. It must decrease. This spiritual warfare, amen, this spiritual flesh, it must decrease that God may increase. And the more that God increases, is the more that your flesh will decrease. And the more that your flesh decreases, the stronger the will of God inside of you will work. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want that will of God, amen, to be stronger than this old flesh on this body. Amen. Because if this flesh, amen, is much stronger than this spirit, amen, on the inside of me, we got problems. Amen. Me and Ronnie, we need to get together with God. Amen. And have a little talk. Amen. The Bible said, or this old song said, just a little talk with Jesus makes things right. When you feel a little prayer wheel turning, you know, amen. When you feel a little fire burning, you know a little prayer wheel's turning. Amen. I'm thankful for that prayer wheel. But this Bible says in 18, it says, praying always. So I can't pray always. I've got to do other things. It says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Bible says to build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. By praying in the Holy Ghost. How do we do that? We get full of the Holy Ghost, like we preached this morning. We get full of the Holy Ghost. It said, in watching thereunto with all perseverance. I don't know about you, but I like that word perseverance. Perseverance means to push through, to push on. Amen. How many know today that the woman, amen, that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, as she was in the very back of the crowd, amen, and I can imagine that it was, I would imagine, just in my thoughts, amen, from me to the sound booth back there, and she knew that all these people were surrounding Jesus, but she knew that she had a need. She knew that if she could only touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she knew that her sickness, amen, would be made whole. And what did she do? She started to go through the line, and I'm sure, no doubt in my mind, that people looked at her and said, you're unworthy, go back. And began to push her backwards and began to push her down. But what did she do? She sat there. She laid down and she quit. No, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that she pushed through. She pushed through. Because she knew that, she said, there ain't nothing today more important, amen. If somebody gets a black eye, I'm going through, amen. Because I'm going, and I'm going to touch Jesus, amen, today. I don't know if I have any witnesses in the house today that'll say, you know, I need something from God, and I just want to touch His garment. I just want to touch the spiritual hem, amen. Just a piece of thread off of His robe, amen, today, that I may get my healing, amen. I want to push through, amen. As the woman that did, amen, when she touched Jesus' garment. And when she touched Jesus' garment, Jesus immediately said, who touched me? His disciples said, Master, there are many other people here that are touching you, that are pushing on you, that are whatnot. But he said, no. He said, for I felt the virtue go out of me. He knew something had happened. He knew that somebody, amen, he knew that when he was there, he knew that if he would have left, she would not have got her healing. And that's why he was there for her, amen. When Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria, the woman at the well. When Jesus went up, amen, to the pool of Bethesda, amen, the man that laid there for 37 years. In the same spot that he would get to the very edge of the pool, but that's as far as he would ever get in 37 years. And then when he heard Jesus coming by, he cried out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Jesus knew, he knows your need. He knows when he needs to come by just for you. He knows what you have, amen, just for you. He has a plan just for you. Your life isn't meaningless. Your life is meaningful, and He has a meaningful life just for you. The equipment, amen. Don't try to wear somebody else's equipment, amen. Don't try to wear somebody else's armor. Don't try to wear, amen, don't try to walk, amen, in somebody else's shoes, amen, because some people's feet's bigger than others, amen, or some people's shoes small, their feet, amen, they're smaller than others, amen. You got to wear what you have, amen. And when Jesus sees fit, He will upgrade you to what you need, amen. He has a suit, amen, out there that's tailored just for your size, amen. He has all your measurements on file, amen. Don't you worry about anything. If we would stand this afternoon, musicians would come back. Amen. equipment for the trying times. Put on that whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this word wiles simply means trickery. Trickery. How many know the devil has tricks out there? He has tricks out there just for you. His tricks for one, to get somebody else to come down. Because believe me, he knows your weaknesses. He knows the very weakness, because he once had you in his palm, in his hand. And he knew what you like to watch on TV. He knew that you really like to listen to good old rock and roll music. Boy, if I can only get that back in his mind, or get that back in her mind, man, I've got them back. But the Bible said praying always in the Spirit. Praying always that we enter not into temptation, that we might not enter in back to what we used to be. The Bible said that when the Spirit comes out and the man is wiped clean, he said, and that Spirit comes back into the man, he is 7 times worse than what he was before. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be 7 times worse than what I thought I was. Pretty bad back then. When I was sinning, I thought I was pretty bad. But to know that I could be 7 times worse than what I was the state before, that's not a desire that I want in my life. That's not something that I want to go through, that I want to walk through, amen, again. That's no wilderness that I want to go be in again. This afternoon, if you're here and you're not saved and you want to say, I want to make Jesus my Lord of my life, I want you to come to this altar right now. Don't put it off any longer. This could be your very last day. This could be your very last hour on this earth. This could be your last chance. And I want you to make it right. More than anything, Jesus wants you to make it right. He doesn't want you to go through this life with all the doom and gloom and anxiety and fear and doubt. But he wants you, amen, for yourself. The Bible said that God is a jealous God. He wants you for himself. If you're here and you're lost, and you may say, you know, I'm on the verge of backsliding. Oh, dear God. I'm on the verge of backsliding. You say, I need to make things right. Yes, come make things right today. Before it's too late. Don't let the devil, amen, he would like to get you and he would like to tell you that you're worthless, that you're no good, that God doesn't care for you anymore because you keep messing up, because you can't stay in his word, because you can't keep a prayer life, because you can't fast maybe once a year, one day a year, that he's done with you, that the things that you do on a daily basis, that you mess up, amen, that you're too far gone for him to even love you anymore. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That is a lie. That is a lie from the pits of hell. And Jesus loves you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you until the very end. If you need salvation, come. You may be here and you say, you know, I go through trials. I'm going through one right now. And I need that equipment for this trying time. I need to know how to put on that whole armor of God. I need to know what I need to do. I want you to come to this altar right now. Let us pray for you. Come to this altar and let us pray for you right now.